consecutive time in the last six seasons, the Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it! Terrific header, Callum Robinson, super ball in.
Great feeling, we have to treasure these nights. Nice.
Hello there, welcome along to the RT Soccer Podcast. We're joined by Vinnie Perth, also by Cork author and former electrifying right back, Neil Horgan. How you doing, Neil? All right?
I'm good, thanks, Adrian.
You okay with that? Attacking right back, author, barrister, I should suppose I should throw in as well.
I think I was more of a conservative right back, if I'm honest. Attacking maybe at the start of my career, but the legs
harsher.
Give way. It's modest.
Vinny, has he been harsh on himself?
He is.
Thanks, Vinny.
He wasn't shy about getting forward, he drifted back as he got a little bit older.
Sensibly.
And James O'Toole is here as well. James. Well, you're more a central defender, aren't you, in your
That's
day?
That's it, the height. It's the height gives it away.
Yeah. Standout moment for you, James, over the last 7 days since we were last on the podcast?
Standout moment, obviously, Athlone Town beating Shelburne in the FAI Cup. Absolute great game for them. Brilliant way to win it as well, considering how up and down their season has been, like finishing second from bottom in the First Division to go and then beat the Premier Division team in the FAI Cup and give them a chance now in the semi-final. That was great for them.
Did you know that Adrian Carberry was on the line, the Athlone manager?
Really? No clue.
Yeah, he is. Adrian, congratulations. That was some result. I mean, whatever about beating Shelburne, but to beat them 4-1 in a cup quarter-final, you must have been delighted with the way the players applied themselves and obviously the outcome.
Hi, Adrian. Hi guys. Yeah, look, we're over the moon down here. It was a great weekend. Great performance by us, I suppose. That's the main thing. Great performance by the lads. After what you said there, a difficult season. It has been a difficult season. It was about just getting the team on the pitch for us and being somewhat competitive. And, you know, we looked at the cup draw. We got Wexford in the first round and you're saying, you know, it's a good chance to go on and push on. And then getting Shelburne, of course, you're saying, you know, if I'm not being, it's probably a good draw as well at home too as well. You were saying you had a chance. And that's what it was. We had a chance to go, but we went and we took that with both hands.
And a hat-trick for Dean George. Tell us a little bit about him.
Dean is, you know, a great player, works very hard for us, striker. Hasn't scored this season for us. Found it hard. Lee Duffy came in after COVID and started and got a few goals for us. Got sent off a few times as well, which left the door open for Dean. Dean worked hard in the background, never complained. Would have started games, worked very hard for us, would have been taken off. And just frustration, you could see it in him. Very frustrated guy in terms of just not hitting the net. But we persevered with him and we got behind him because he does offer a lot to the team. He works very hard for us and creates chances for others, which is important. But yeah, we said it to him, get one, you get a few. And even a half time after scoring, which we were delighted for him, when he came in, we said to him, there's a match ball there for if you want, because we could feel it. We could feel it. We're in the game. This wasn't just a lucky one-off victory over. Well, it was a one-off game, but I mean, it wasn't just a lucky victory, guys. I think we were well on top. I think it could have been more goals.
Yeah, I think you look at the first half, you get the early goal. Shelburne obviously put a bit of pressure on. Kieran Guff gets one back. And then there's a period of about 5 or 6 minutes where you're a little bit under pressure. Yeah. But yeah. You soak it up, and then Scott goes and gets that second goal for you just like 20 minutes in. But you soak it up, and then you kind of start playing your ball as if you've just restarted the game again. They did really, really well, as far as I'm concerned, in that part of the game.
Yeah, and the big thing was there was a strong breeze blowing down the pitch, and you're looking at it and you're saying, just need to win this toss here and play with the breeze, because you're looking at the weather, it's going to get better, the wind is going to die down, so you want to just get that breeze in the first half. And as the boys there, they're very experienced guys there, will tell you, when we lost the toss, you're saying, I don't have any luck at all, but you're playing against the wind, you have to come up with another way. You can't just kick the ball away because it's going to come right back at you. So we were probably forced to play it a bit more in the first half, which as you can see, it suited us probably in the end. But yeah, you're right, we soaked up pressure. And the big point, I think, was Aaron Miles made a great save at 2-1 in the second half. And that was really the springboard to push on for us then after that.
Vinny, were you surprised by the result, the manner of the victory for Athlone Town?
Yeah, you are. There's no doubt there's a huge gulf between the Premier Division and the First Division, but at the same time, these results happen from at different stages. The one thing I will say is, when we played Adrian in a pre-season friendly, and look, we all know the history of, or anyone that knows anything about League of Ireland will know the history of Athlone. It's definitely a soccer town. I do make the argument that somewhere like Athlone and Dundalk are very similar towns in many ways. So there's no excuse for Athlone being where they are. But since Adrian's come in, I know we would have spoken the off season. I think that result, although you know the hat trick will grab the headlines, what is happening down there? I think there's a start of a movement in Athlone, and things are starting to be done right. The way they do their business over the last sort of 12 months, there's definitely an improvement. And sometimes you get, I wouldn't say a bit of luck, that would say you got luck in the game, but I mean a bit of luck, and things go your way, and young kids score a hat-trick, and that's down to hard work, Adrian, you know, and the staff down there work really, really hard throughout the lockdown and the off-season, and you get your results, and it's brilliant to see, especially, you know, with Lone, as I said, a local guy in doing the business, and the hard work pays off, and it's an old saying, but it's worked for them. And I think even from a former Longford man, that's I have to give him a bit of credit.
Billy, thanks very much. It's great, if you don't mind me jumping in there, the guys. Billy, thanks to you, and you were very supportive of us and helping us with the friendly and giving us a bit of a, you know, with Tanner as well, coming with great help. And it's guys like Vinny that help us, you know, in the league, and we're trying to get started off, getting a footing and trying to put our own stamp on things. It has been hard, I tell you, with lockdown for all the coaches, you know, it's been very hard. Been a hard year for everyone, and just to get back playing has been fantastic. But we're absolutely delighted. We're going the right way, and the committee are buying into it too as well, which is important for us. It was important that, you know, we got back to Athlone. They were training in Dublin the last couple of years, and there was no buy-in with the community. I think that's changed now. We're obviously, COVID stopped us in our tracks a small bit in terms of branching out more, but that's the way we're going to go now. We're going to go and get involved in the community, and again, you go and get their help back then when you need it.
Adrian, Vinny obviously referred there a few moments ago to the tradition that Athlone has as a football town, but obviously the last couple of decades have been very difficult. 2014, the only year in the past 25 years that Athlone have been in the Premier Division. So there's a lot of building, a lot of rebuilding to be done. What are the challenges? You mentioned there that the community support and the buy-in. You obviously need that. And it's difficult, obviously, in this COVID era. We don't know what's around the corner for football teams or for clubs and for society, of course. But what are the challenges? Because you've committed to Athlone for the next couple of years as manager. But how challenging is it going to be for a club like Athlone?
It is very, very challenging. We need to, I suppose, get people to buy into what we're doing and spread the word. I think that hasn't been enough promotion of what we're actually doing, what's on offer down there for, and especially for the underage teams coming through. I think that's been a great help for us. We have good guys involved there, good guys coaching at the younger teams, and just getting promoting out there that the club is there, the facilities we have, what we can do for the whole, the community in Athlone, I mean, the whole Midlands area, huge area as well. We won't touch too much into Dundalk, into Longford either, Vinny. But I mean, you know, there is definitely scope for us to get to reach out a bit more around the Midlands. And that's what we need to do to bring in players. But yeah, it was all about raising the profile of ourselves. I came from the, don't mind saying it, from the women's game, in with Dave Connell with the under-19s, and it was away from League of Ireland for a while. So I'm new to it now, you could say, and it's just getting, I suppose, raising our profile, myself and Becky Constantine, who's there with me, a great help, and it's just raising our own profile and attracting players, new people to the club.
Your profile's not going to get any bigger than an FAI Cup semi-final against either Bowes or Dundalk to look forward to as well. So I take it all the players are very excited about that.
Very excited, and we're delighted for them. I suppose a lot of press came up about me agreeing to stay on, and it was about me and what I was doing, but it's the players, it is the players, no doubt about it. We can do what we want, but on the day, the players went out there, and the pressure was off them. We spoke about that. It's a cup game, the magic of the cup, we spoke all about that. Anything is possible, it really is, and they deserve an awful lot of credit for what they've done, the way they performed, and the way they got through that game, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be very, very hard. You're talking about Bowes or Dundalk, like, you know, two fantastic teams, two powerhouses in Irish football, and we have it at home. But these are the games you want. These are this is where we want to be.
playing against the big boys, and we just hope a bit of luck on the day, maybe an awful lot of luck, but we have a chance. We have a chance.
Neil Horgan here, Adrian, and just butting in there. Firstly, I'd just like to congratulate you. It's a brilliant result, and no doubt well deserved. Just a question in respect of, I suppose, I'd be kind of familiar with Cove Ramblers down here and the works that they have done recently to kind of highlight the position in the First Division clubs. With yourselves and Athlone, what do you see could help you from perhaps the you know, the new FAI or whatever they're calling themselves now? What kind of assistance do you think is needed for First Division clubs like yourselves? I mean, you've obviously done brilliant to bring yourselves out into the limelight now with a great cup run. But what else could be done, do you think, from above, really?
I think, you know, from you look at the First Division, a lot more needs to be done in terms of, you know, I suppose the way it is now with up to five teams, the top five teams getting a chance to get promoted. You know, now, look, not everyone will agree with me because it's easy to say this when you're down, you know, at the bottom of the First Division, you want a chance to make it to the Premier Division. Because as you know, once you get to the Premier Division, teams open up more for you in terms of players, sponsorship and everything else. But it's just getting that chance to get in there. So for us, it'll be opening up more for, you know, playoff for you know, the way the league is structured next year. Maybe just talk about changes in that in terms of, you know, the bottom five, maybe playing as the top five or something like that, some way, you know, what to do with Belgium, you know. So maybe that could be something to be looked at too as well. But definitely, the First Division is a backwater. It doesn't get much coverage. I know you guys do, in fairness, but it could do a lot more. And that comes from the top. It comes from the top. I think the FAI need to look at it and give more credit to everyone involved in it and push it more, both the top division and the First Division as well.
Okay, well, listen, Adrian, continue the good work. Well done to you and all involved with Athlone Town into the semi-finals of the FAI Cup. And many thanks for taking time out to chat to us. Neil, I guess the last week or so for you, I'm sure you've been consumed by the Cork City story because you've been part of the story in recent years. The sale of the club to the Trevor Hemmings Group, Grovemore. I know you're not a fan of that particular sale. How do you reflect on it now?
Well, I suppose the first thing is we're down in the First Division now before we talk about the sale. And I suppose my question to Adrian in Athlone was kind of, I mentioned Cove, but it's relevant to Cork City now at this point. In respect of the vote that went through last week, you know, I think part of me is kind of saying, you know, that's in the past and we need to move forward. But I suppose my issue with it at the time was, and still is, I suppose, really, with that there was no guarantee of fans' involvement going forward. And I felt Forest had done so well for the last 10 years that they should have had a guarantee of some involvement going forward. Now, you know, I've heard that, and there seems to be statements that Grovemore and Trevor Hemmings are considering a role for Forest in the future of Cork City Football Club. And hopefully that will transpire. But there's no guarantee of that. And I think that the real questions now, I suppose, for me are going forward, you know, because there are a lot of questions to be answered because there's been a lack of detail as to what role, what plans Grovemore have for Cork City. Is it full time for the players? Is it part time? Is it a feeder club? You know, there's a lot of questions still there. And I suppose I'd like to look at the future as much as I was kind of unhappy about how the vote was structured, I suppose.
In terms of Forest, why do you feel it's important that they retain an involvement?
I feel when they were set up originally, they were set up, I know there's a man named Pat Shine played a large role in it and sadly passed away a few years ago. But my understanding is from speaking with all the other Forest members was that it was set up to be a kind of a stakeholder for Cork City or a long-term kind of protective role for the club. Ultimately, they were kind of pushed into taking over the club because of circumstances and then did fantastic for 10 years from 2010 to 2020, really. And the last two or three years, they've had a problem. Basically a problem because of their success, really, which is, you know, traditionally been a problem with certainly with Cork football clubs, that after 3 years or 3 years after a successful period, there tends to be a like financial crisis. And so I feel that Forest weren't the reason for the financial crisis, put it that way. I feel that they make mistakes, certainly, My view on it, which I've said before, is that I felt they should have looked for financial assistance whilst things were going well at the club, and for whatever reasons they didn't. Maybe they had just too much going on to keep the club going when things were going well, when they were winning doubles and all that. But then I think when you get to 2020 and they've had a few years of kind of struggle, I would just felt that they could still have had that role that they wanted at the start, that the reason they were created to be part of it. You've seen hybrid models that are very successful, the likes of Shamrock Rovers, who have, you know, fans, you know, ownership of the club combined with financial assistance from outside. And I felt that that was the more secure. And to be fair, I felt Forest deserved to be part of the club going forward. And I don't know if that answers it for you, Adrian, but that's how I felt in any event.
I think, Neil, I think it's going to be a case of for the new owner coming in, it'll be a benefit of them if they have Forest there,
absolutely.
Because people won't look at it. People always look to the left of people coming in, new people coming in, or a bit, we're not sure about these, have they got the interest of the club at heart? Whereas if they keep Forest on board in some manner,
definitely,
at least that then alleviates fans' worries about it, someone like this coming into a club.
Yeah, and I think there's an opportunity for Grosvenor to do that. Now, I will say that from all accounts of Trevor Hemmings, he's meant to be a very decent guy and philanthropic, you know, very philanthropic in terms of, and obviously has the football acumen behind him in terms of Preston North End. But I agree with you, James, in that, like, this is an opportunity for them to keep Forrest involved in that role that Forrest were originally, you know, planning to be for football in Cork. Then it would be a very, you know, I think a very smart move from Grosvenor, and one that's for the best interests of Cork football long term.
Vinny, as somebody who's sparred with Cork City over the last couple of years, I mean, it's remarkable, you know, the fall from grace, if you will, over the last couple of years. How do you look on the Cork City situation at the moment?
I suppose first of all, genuinely very sad day when it was confirmed Cork were relegated. That was very disappointing. Because I think that affects League of Ireland. I think for League of Ireland to be successful, I mean, definitely need clubs like Athlone trying to grow and that, but we need our very best clubs, Cork being one of them, to be thereabouts. And it's a big blow for League of Ireland losing Cork for next season out of the Premier Division. To be honest, from looking from afar, there's a reason we need investment. We need investment in our league, and I know Neil is not against the investment. He's basically wishing Forrest was still involved, which I understand. But there's a fine balance between it all. We need investment. We need people coming in. You tend to think that football people, like the new owners of Cork, wouldn't make the same mistakes if the same success as they had in 17, they may have built on that. So it's a fine balance, and it's not the question. Any decisions were made. There's no doubt mistakes were made after 17, and the club has ended up in debt. But it's a fine balance. I welcome any investor coming into League of Ireland, and we should welcome it. It's unfortunate Cork didn't manage to stay up, and then we could have seen exactly, you know, what good investment down there can do. Because there's no doubt, I mean, when you go to Cork, I've been down there not that long ago, and there's 6,500 people in the ground, and it's just an intimidating place, and it's a great place, and it's a big loss for League of Ireland. But I welcome the investment, but I hope it's done in the right manner, and I presume it will be. They're not people looking like to make a quick buck on development of the ground or anything like that, because that's not just clearly not going to happen. So it seems like the intentions are right. So hopefully it's a good League of Ireland story in time.
Neil, on balance, are you worried about the future for Cork City or optimistic?
I think I'm more, I know I might not sound it, but I do think I'm a little bit more optimistic possibly than I was last week. I don't know, is that just getting... One part of it was like the Forest board, who did vote for it, they voted for it like 70%, so, you know, fairly comprehensively, and I felt that shifted me a bit. I was like, if that's what they want, and perhaps, you know, we just have to get on with it. And then I, you know, looking at the investment, as Vinny was saying, you know, you have to be thankful, I suppose, of anyone who's willing to invest in the League of Ireland. I completely agree with everything he said there. And I suppose Trevor Hemmings on his own, you know, has a very good record from all accounts. So it could be the case that it becomes, you know, a real, I suppose, solidifying move for Cork City. You know, my ideal scenario obviously is with the fans involved, but even without that, if Mr. Hemmings, you know, has really good the good interests of Cork City at heart, you can imagine that, for example, players at Cork City who are coming up through the ages, you know, have a stronger club to aspire to, a club that's more solid, which is all we kind of really wanted all along, which is that, you know, we don't have this every 5-10 years or whatever, you know, a club in real crisis, which has been traditionally the case. So if Trevor Hemmings and his company are able to, you know, change that model, and even if it takes a long time, I mean, that will be very progressive for the club, because it's just...
I think what you see, Neil, though, would it be fair to say, and you would have experienced this, people, they seem like football people taking over the club. True. And that's a loose term, football people. So just small points like feeding players after training. For them, that's the norm. Yeah. People who run clubs in England. For Irish people, and I'm not throwing this at Forrest, for some of the people who've run Irish football club for years, they don't see that as the norm, like in treating athletes with, you know, oh, they need somewhere to go for recovery, or they need to be fed after training, or they need to be properly fed before games. It's those little things that actually will help the young players hopefully coming through,
and
understanding that there needs to be a certain standard within the club for footballers to develop. And I think that's where it can be a massive help if the investors are, as I said, football people. If they own Preston, they're obviously football people, and they understand the right way of doing things. And we all know Cork is a hotbed of soccer, and especially young players. So it could be a real opportunity if it's managed correctly.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Really good point. Yeah, very fair. And I think I'd compare it to, we were taken over by Arcadia during the, I suppose, prime of my career, and they knew nothing about football. Yeah. They were comparing us to Greyhounds at the time, I remember, amongst other things. And so I think that the fact that they have a football, you know, obviously there's an industry over there that we don't quite have yet. The likes of Vinny and you know, Stephen Kenny at Dundalk have done massive inroads in respect of building respect for an industry here, you know. But before whilst we're waiting, I suppose, for that to happen, the likes of the knowledge that the likes of people who are working in the I suppose the industry of football in Preston can bring to Cork can only be a help. And at least they're not going to be comparing us to Greyhounds anyway, I imagine, or the players.
I have a picture in my head of you tearing up and down from right back now as a Greyhound in your younger days.
That's where the speed came at right full.
Yeah, maybe it was a compliment, actually. Yeah, looking back.
Anyway, we wish Cork well. We wish Cork well. We'll chat more about the Premier Division and, of course, the battle for relegation. Finn Harps in with a fighting chance of avoiding the playoff position. We'll do that very shortly. But let's go back to the First Division. Drogheda United, well, they gained automatic promotion to the Premier Division. First Division winners last week. Clancy, the Drogheda manager, is on the line. Congratulations. I guess, Tim, after missing out on the playoffs last year, losing out to Finn Harps, this time round, there must be a real sense of accomplishment on your part.
Yeah, listen, we've a good bulk of the lads that were in the squad last year were in the squad again this year. So it was I suppose it was a relief, and we probably thought with 3 games to go, we'd go to Galway and get a win to close the 2 points on Bray. We thought it might have been out of our hands at that stage. So, listen, to get three wins in the last 7 days, two of them away from home against teams going for playoff was very pleasing.
And Tim, obviously the 24th of October is the one I've pointed out as your day that it all turned for you, and that was that, speaking of Galway again, a 93rd minute goal for Galway against Bray, and that puts it back in your own hands basically for the league title.
Well, listen, we couldn't approach the game against Wexford any differently. We just had to look after ourselves that day, and whatever happened in the Carlisle grounds happened, we couldn't affect that, so... we finished just before them, a couple of minutes beforehand. I actually got to watch the last couple of minutes there. It was a bit hectic. It was end to end, and I suppose I heard someone saying there recently that the First Division probably doesn't get enough coverage, and if you wanted excitement, you look at the end of that Galway and Bray game in the Carlisle, and then also the final night of the season, there were twists and turns everywhere. So
yeah, it was very, very entertaining and very exciting.
And on that, Tim, the final night of the season last Tuesday night, at one point Bray were heading for automatic promotion because they were leading in Athlone. I was at that game. But then, of course, you obviously went on and got the 2-0 win at Cabinteely. But were you aware of what was going on in Athlone at the time?
During the game, no. It was at half-time. Someone did mention that Ryan Graydon just scored a free kick just before half-time. So we didn't say it to the players. We just said, listen, we had to concentrate on ourselves. And again, irrespective of what happened anywhere else, we had to try and get the job done ourselves and concentrate on that rather than looking for favours. And listen, we were quite calm at half time. We tweaked a few things and probably going a man up in the first half for a 10-minute spell. Then we sort of just started going along. We didn't really play to our strengths, and when we got them in at half time, we changed a little and we adjusted a few things, and wasn't happy enough. We got 2 goals in 5 minutes. That's settling nerves.
And after the full time whistle in the dressing room, I guess it was absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was relief. Myself and Kev for 3 years here now, so we fell in the playoffs the first year, and then obviously again we went a little bit further, and it was the second leg. It was the second half of extra time in the second leg in the final that we conceded the goal that Finn Harps won the game with. So it was a tough one to come back from last year. But the emotions in the dressing room afterwards and the relief more than anything else was overwhelming, to be honest with you.
Obviously last year Finn Harps, it's a headed goal on a mucky night up in Ballybuffet to knock you out in the final. As you said, second half of extra time. It starts building from there. Now you've got a broken up season this season, but what one bit kind of, was there one game in the season where you kind of went, we have this, lads, we can go all the way this year?
No, listen, when we met up at the start of the year, we knew it was going to be a difficult season. Longford were a very strong side, and you had Galway, who invested quite a bit at the start of the season and got a really good squad together. And Murph was very unlucky because I don't think they got a win in the first seven that Murph was there. And a lot of them games, there was very little in it. There was a goal in it, and a few little things didn't go their way. They could have been a lot closer. And, obviously, look how Bray done all season as well. And Cabinteely, the last couple of seasons have been very consistent, and they started the season really well. And then always you have UCD, who always have a great bunch of lads, like great attitude, and always very fit and play good football. So we started at the start of the season, and we tried to just get it into lads that, listen, we can go one further this year and possibly go and win it. And we never really got going into our stride all year. We had a few poor results, but we'd always bounce back on one or two good ones. And then we ended up losing again, and then we start again another two or three games. So we always just hung in there, and then at the very end we happened to get over the line.
You mentioned Cabinteely there, Tim. A bit tough on them, of course, finishing fifth, but losing out in the playoffs because, of course, for the weekend matches they were replaced by Galway. Tough,
yeah,
on Pat Devlin and everybody involved, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a strange one because I think I know what went on with that, because funnily enough, the lad who was registered, it's one of the lads of my team's brother, Jordan Eddie Amos' brother. So I think the mistake was made by the English FA. So the FAI didn't do anything wrong. Wexford didn't do anything wrong. And certainly Cabinteely and Athlone and whoever else didn't do anything wrong when they got the points back. But it was an admin error by the English FA, who granted international clearance when they shouldn't have. And that's what ended up punishing Wexford. And Wexford certainly didn't do anything wrong either. So it was a unfortunate incident. And as it carried on throughout the whole season, then for Cabinteely on Tuesday night to get the word that they're in the playoffs and then find out on Thursday or whatever it was that they aren't, I'd say it was a bitter one for Pat and Eddie to take.
Yeah, when you consider all the permutations I put out last week's podcast, the one thing I didn't think of was a court date that would solve it all. As you said, Tim, it's such a great league. Like, coming into the last game, I mentioned last week, 7 teams had a chance of either winning the league or getting into the playoffs. And it's just a shame that a lot of people missed out on watching it, really.
Yeah, that's probably the most frustrating thing. Was there was a few great games all season. As you said there, last minute winners and whatnot. And unfortunately, no fans were in the stadium to add to the atmosphere. Listen, we'll hopefully now, when next season starts, next March or so, we might be in a bit clearer position where we might even be able to have limited crowds again, or maybe full attendances, I don't know. But it certainly was a season that we would have
preferred to have our fans in the ground and especially share that moment with them on Tuesday night.
And Tim, finally, as someone who has played in the Premier Division, you know what the standard is like in the Premier Division. You're taking Drogheda United up. You'll want to see your team consolidate and perhaps build, and who knows, in 2021. But how difficult a challenge is that going to be in terms of acquiring players and the resources that you have to build a side to compete in the Premier Division?
It's difficult. We don't know the uncertainty in regard to COVID and crowds and whatnot. We don't know what revenue we have coming in for next season. So it is difficult. We're going to sit down with the chairman tomorrow and go through what budget we can get or predict the budget that we'll have for next season. And Drogheda have really looked after themselves the last couple of seasons and have worked in a tight budget, but also made a profit each season. I think that's what all League of Ireland clubs should be aiming for. So we're not going to go and splash a load of money. I'm sure it'll have some sort of money to bring players in. It will be difficult, but we'll hang on to the core group that we have there, and a lot of them are young, exciting players. And if we can get a little bit of a Premier League experience and quality into the squad, we're hoping that would be enough for us to at least compete.
Well, it's a great football town, Drogheda. So congratulations to everybody involved and to you, Tim, and of course, Kevin Doherty and all the team. Well done. Congratulations on winning promotion.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Vinnie Perth, that's a great achievement, isn't it, by Tim Clancy? Because you would know from your time at Dundalk the challenges that a club like Drogheda, just down the road, have faced over the last few years.
Yeah, and again, going back to it, I think it's League of Ireland is stronger for having clubs like Drogheda back in it. We definitely need them to be strong. It creates a derby around Dundalk and Drogheda, which, believe it or not, no matter how successful we were in the last 7-8 years, they were always tough games. So, look, I think, Tim, they've done a great job there. To be fair to the board, they haven't, for this time, they haven't overspent. It seems like they've done it within budget. They've backed the two guys, Kevin Doherty and himself, Tim, and they've gone and got themselves promoted. And what being so close to Dublin does is it gives you a shot of picking up some good players. That's probably the difference with, say, someone like Cork or Waterford. There's a lot of good players around Dublin just below the level of the top Dublin clubs. So they may have a chance of staying up next year and small bit of investment. So, listen, wonderful achievement. Winning any league is an achievement. I was at UCD and Longford the other day, and you know, there's a lot of quality in the fourth division, a lot of good young players coming through, and there's no doubt I felt they were the best side. So ultimately they've gone and won the league, but there's a bit of quality coming through that league, so it all bodes well.
And on that, seeing as you brought it up, Longford against Galway on Friday in the playoff, with the winners of that to face the team that finished second from bottom in the Premier Division, what John Caulfield has managed to do, Neil, has been quite remarkable. You know, going in as manager of Galway United, marvellous run of results, and here they are in with a shot of possibly making the Premier Division.
Yeah, I think he's done an amazing job, and I'm not surprised in many ways. I remember when he went there, I don't know, was it Mark Herrick from Galway, or Mark would know him, so it wasn't him. Someone else from Galway asked me about him, and I just said, you know what, he'll get results anyway. And that's proven to be the case. Like, the results have been phenomenal since he went in. I think if they have a great chance of going up, obviously it's going to be a playoff, and then they play, perhaps if they win, Finn Harps or Shells, and you know, it's all to play for. I think, looking at it from outside, John Caulfield in Galway made sense to me in many ways. He kind of uses the local communities very well. He has a knowledge of that area as well. He's from Athlone himself, I believe. And I just knew with Johnny Glynn, he has a good friendship with Johnny Glynn going back years, and he's brought Johnny into the club as well, or in terms of the backroom staff, having been kind of in the club for a long time, Johnny Glynn. It just made sense in many different ways, and I think you see the benefit of it as well. Also, Liam Kearney's gone there with him, I would say, and Liam actually joined Cork City just before their kind of purple spell as well, and made a difference, in my opinion. And I think John's kind of noted that and brought him with him, and that there's a lot of good things going on in Galway at the moment. And again, like Vinny is saying about, you know, Drogheda, a Galway in the Premier Division, I mean, no disrespect to Longford, I mean, with the ground they have, and you know, they've done an amazing job, Darragh Doyle, and you know, but Galway, I think, is a real stalwart of the League of Ireland. If they could do well, you'd almost see the whole league kind of being pushed up again, in my opinion anyway.
At the risk of getting the wrath of the Rossies, better just clarify, he's technically from Roscommon, but very near Athlone.
Oh yeah, sorry.
he went to Summerhill College. But I think he was born in the States.
He was born in Chicago, I think. I share that with him.
Anyway. Yeah. Vinny, in terms of that playoff match between Galway and Longford Town, how would you call it?
I suppose, first of all, just to bring it up, and you get a lot of criticism, UCD are developing another crop of really exciting players. It's going to take another year or two, but the front three, Whelan, Kernan, and Maddie, I know, is 23. They're phenomenal. There's another bunch of players on the way through there, and the work they do in developing young players for League of Ireland shouldn't go unnoticed. It's phenomenal. But they were really unlucky the other night against Longford, but I haven't seen Galway, ironically, and yet I make, in my own head, Galway favourites because the John Caulfield effect, and it's not that he's a better manager than Darragh Doyle, we won't know, but what John has done there, the momentum they take into the game, you know, the cream rise to the top, and the work John has done at Galway means, in my head, they're favourites. So it'll be a fascinating game. Longford were very, very good again against UCD. Get huge confidence out of, you know, 90th minute equaliser, and then, you know, 120 minute winner, to get huge confidence out of that. And Darragh's done a really good job to get them to the final there. So I think the ground in Longford is that good. I think they'd be a welcome addition if they did get up, but as Neil said, the city of Galway, if they get it right and with John involved, would be a really good addition. But who they pay, that's still up for debate. I think John Caulfield, for me, is and Galway are favourites to win the playoff game just because of the John effect, and it says it all, you know.
Is it that big of an effect? I know when a new manager comes in, you usually get a bounce, Vinny, but like, will the John Caulfield effect count more than Longford having to play extra time during the night?
There's obviously, he's had a huge effect in that team, and he's dragged them into the playoffs. They went up to Bray and won, and that's what John creates, that steeliness, that as Neil said, that togetherness, and you know, that Galway side will be very confident under him. He'll have all the know-how. He'll have that sort of bit of experience, and Darragh is a young and up-and-coming manager as well, and he'll get things right for his own point of view. But it's just that sort of, like, 2 years ago, John Caulfield won the double. It's close on 3 years now in the Premier Division. He's a top, top class manager, and I'm delighted to see him back achieving and being successful with Galway. And I think if they don't get up this year, they'd be favourites next season, albeit with Cork in the league as well. So that'll be an interesting one. But it's just the know-how, it's just the big game mentality, and they've won a lot of big games over the last couple of weeks to get them into this position, and going up to Bray and winning, who, you know, a lot of people thought highly of Bray, and going up there and winning last week was a phenomenal result. And I think they carry momentum into the game.
Okay, well, some of the results from the weekend: Finn Harps 0, Shamrock Rovers 2, a debut goal from Max Murphy in that one. Joey O'Brien had given Shamrock Rovers the lead. Dundalk now within touching distance of going back into Europe, a 1-1 draw at St Pat's. Pat Hooban with the lead goal for Dundalk, Robbie Benson with equaliser. And a game on Wednesday night will be live on RT2 television, Shamrock Rovers against St Pat's. And after that match, all going well, Shamrock Rovers will be presented with the Premier Division title. Vinny, just watching Dundalk these days, is it hard for you to watch Dundalk, say particularly last week and the Emirates, knowing you could have been there? Is it hard watching that big night of drama for the club, for the town?
I suppose I meant to give a diplomatic answer. I meant to say all sorts of gurus will tell you to say this and say that. But yeah, it's really difficult. There's no doubt about it. It's been a really difficult time personally. Very, very difficult. And I've so many friends there, I recall them, of people over the last 8.5 years that I'm delighted for them. But personally, it's difficult to take. Not just the Emirates. I think that's a mistake. It's a mistake that was made in the sense of, they went tourists going to the Emirates. They were a team trying to compete, and they ultimately didn't, and I found that a bit disappointing. But yeah, it's difficult, difficult to take, but at the same time, you've got to move on, and you've got to, those are the people involved now, and so it is difficult. Even watching the game last night against Pats, that was difficult, but what do? You get on with it, and I'm sure there's bigger things for people to be worried about in life, but ultimately, I'll be telling lies and said it didn't hurt.
Yeah, it can't be easy. And when you say they didn't compete, I mean, we had the stat where there was no fouls committed by a Dundalk player. I'm sure some former Dundalk players must be thinking to themselves, oh, that's not something to be getting excited about.
Yeah, it was a strange stat. It was one of the, having watched a lot of their games, stayed away from it for different reasons, but it was a strange stat. Look, when I said he didn't compete, I think when the tour goal went in, camera went to Patrick McElhenney, and his disappointment, the tour goal said it all. I remember Patrick McElhenney in the 89th minute hitting the crossbar against Zenit St. Petersburg, a game we shouldn't have lost. Dundalk didn't have a goal, but people have different views of it. I don't think it reflects well that the highlight of the night was that they were only beaten 3-0. For me, that might be deemed as criticism, but I think I was disappointed that the players of Duffy, McElhenney, Kolovic, Hooban, the really attacking flair players, didn't get a chance to express themselves at a stage that they belong at, in my opinion. Some of them belong at. So that was a bit disappointing. But listen, they're competing at the highest level, and you have to be pragmatic at the same time. But that was disappointing.
All right. Listen, in terms of the final round of matches in the Premier Division next Sunday night, all games kicking off at 7:30, all live on Watch LOI. Cork City against Derry, Dundalk on the verge of a return to Europe against Sligo Rovers. Finn Harps against Waterford is a massive game because Waterford haven't given up on Europe, of course, and Finn Harps, they're battling to survive. Equally, huge game for Shelburne at home to Shamrock Rovers. St. Pat's against Bowes. James, it's going to be an intriguing night, and it's very, very difficult to call, especially Finn Harps, who were on a decent run. Obviously, the setback against Shamrock Rovers, you know, will have dented confidence, but you know, Ollie will have his side really built up for what is a huge game against Waterford.
Yeah, definitely. And you've probably seen it last night. It was more like a mud bath last night when they finished in Ballybuffet. But that's going to help Ollie. I think they've gone through this before. They've got pedigree in getting these, digging out these last results. They could well beat Waterford, which then it puts Waterford in a bit of a predicament as far as Europe is concerned, especially if Sligo beat Derry or Sligo win and Pats win. They could dig this out, and it could be problems for Shelburne, to tell you the truth. And then who do you fancy if Shelburne are in that position? And as Vinny's already said, if Galway get through, I can see Galway's momentum carrying them through that match. The only one I can see not Galway not beating is Finn Harps, because Finn Harps have been there for so many times. They know how to win a playoff final. But yeah, very, very intriguing matches across the division come Sunday night.
I agree with James there. I think Finn Harps in any playoff, everyone want to avoid them. They're like, they're the masters of the playoff at this stage, I'd say.
I think they beat Liverpool in the playoff.
Exactly. they'd be like, nobody would beat them in a playoff, you'd almost feel, right, because of their record. So I think, be it Galway or Longford, they'll probably be wanting Shelburne, even though, you know, Shelburne have some senior players who I'm sure will step up if needs be, the likes of Kilduff and that. But it's very exciting. It's very exciting, it must be said.
Vinny, your thoughts on it all?
Yeah, I think it'd be tricky if Shelburne, and again, momentum is huge in football, so if Shelburne end up in that position, it'd be tricky. Finn Harps are home to Waterford. I suppose lucky enough for other clubs around that 19 points. I think Pat have just about done enough now. I think lucky enough, Waterford need a win to get into Europe, so that means they'd be totally focused on the game. It is difficult. The gap is huge, from the fourth division to the Premier Division, I think it's an intra venue as well. So listen, it's a lot to play for the weekend. Waterford get a result, puts a bit of pressure on Dundalk at home to Sligo. So there's a lot to play for, and that's really what we want for the last day of the season. So interesting weekend ahead, and really looking forward to it.
OK, Okay, results in the Women's National League over the course of the last few days. In Group 1, Wexford Youths 3, Galway 1, Shells 4, Cork City 0. And in Group 2, Bowes 4, Treaty United 5. Quite a game, that. And in terms of the Group 1 table, Shelburne, top of the standings, Piemont weren't in action over the course of the weekend. Shells top on 25 points, 1 point clear of Piemont. The Women's Cup semi-finals take place this weekend. Cork City against Treaty United and Wexford Youths against Piemont United. And James, it's a big week for Piemont because, of course, they're in Champions League action as well. Away to Glasgow City on Wednesday night. Massive game for Piemont.
It's absolutely massive. It'll be a good game for them. It'll be, for several of the players, will be the first time they, for a long time, they've come up against Clare Shine. Some of them have actually lost FAI Cup finals in that 2017, where Clare scored the winning goal for Cork City. Some of the Piemont players were on that use of the DLR Waves team that week. So there'll be a couple of them will relish this game. It should be a good game for them. Fingers crossed they can get through, because Glasgow City are no easy pushover as far as teams are concerned in Europe.
And you've been tracking the progress of Amber Barrett in Germany. Goals are flying in for
Amber's,
her.
Amber's on the flyer. I just checked it there now. I thought it was 5-5, but she scored the first goal in her last four games for Cologne. So she's off to an absolute flyer. So I had mentioned this already against the Ukraine. She came on too late in the game, as far as I'm concerned, for the Irish team to get anything out of it, for Amber to even get anything out of it. I think if Vera's made one slight mistake in this qualifying campaign, I think that's it. I think you should have given Amber a lot more time on the pitch last week.
Okay, very good. We'll leave it there. James O'Toole, as ever, many thanks to you, and also, of course, as well to Neil Horgan,
thank you,
ex of Cork City, and also to Vinnie Perth. Lads, thanks for your company. Until the next time, bye-bye.